Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for the celebration of the passage to 2023. Perhaps share my predictions for 2023 and drink with you guys. Naberius has sent a $25 super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Happy New Year, JF and chat. Happy New Year to you, Naberius. Happy New Year to everyone on the regular chat. I'm drinking some red beer, generic red beer. I have some cherry wine with ice, Harvey's cherry wine. Spindly Opinion says British New Year now. Okay, so for the people who are in the UK, they are celebrating the passage to 2023. Well, what a year number, 2023. I'm going to have to get used to this. What does the passage of the year mean? We're going to have to do our tax reports. I'm sure Mama JF will start classifying all our documents. She generally does a first step of sifting through the documents. Then she hands them to me and I do the final calculation. I've been late on my taxes when I was young, and since the last few years, I'm always in advance, so we like to do it in January now. Purple Tuna says, here's a dollar towards Mama JF 10,000 jars of mayo pipe dream. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. You're gonna get the stack of mayo. All right. The National Justice Party with our friend Mikey Nock has been celebrating 2022 year in review. They said they have released a documentary about the terror in Waukesha. Darrell Brooks, driving into a bunch of white Christians. They've been covering the mass expulsion of whites from American cities. I mean, life is made difficult for white people in cities. If it's not through official kicking out, they will be made to want out. That is what's happening in big city that turn full Democrat. They've been talking about FBI corruption. They've been talking about being unbanned on Twitter at first. And then eventually they got rebanned at the request of the ADL. So I didn't know that they had gotten unbanned for a while, but it seems that it was very temporary, and eventually the ADL pressured Elon Musk into banning them again. That doesn't bode well for my own account, which we've never heard about. Trying to stay white-pilled says, has Papa JF ever elaborated much on why he is still white-pilled on BTC? I remember JF explaining his BTC views 6 years ago, but most of the reasons he liked crypto then no longer apply today. Why would you say it no longer applies? I still hold the same view. What do you think applied 6 years ago to crypto and does not apply now? The decentralization aspect. The uncontrollable aspect by people who cannot, if they can't get your key, they can't get your coin. That is a great thing that remains. It is uncensorable as far as we can tell, unless they seize your keys, of course. I'm totally white-pilled about Bitcoin, but my opinion on Bitcoin never changed. Why would you call this white pill? I don't know, because the Bitcoin, it was known, was going to enter in a bull run and then a bear market. It's going to be like this every halvening. There's going to be a rise to a peak and then it's going to go down. It's always going to be like this. And if you're a true Bitcoiner, you know this and you have already accepted not to refresh the price of Bitcoin every day and say, oh my God, I lost $10,000. It's not this. If you hold Bitcoin, you see the world from a Bitcoin perspective and you don't care about the lows of the bear market. Those are just opportunities to buy more Bitcoin. trying to stay white-pilled, says, "Perhaps I oversimplified your historical opinion. Anonymity was something you highlighted previously." Well, it still holds, you know. People will say, "Oh, Bitcoin isn't anonymous." if you start a VPN and you use some indirect way to connect to the network and you create a totally fresh wallet, your name is not attached to that wallet. And money that would be sent toward that wallet, it will be unknown that it's yours. So yes, it is still a high degree of anonymity, just this. And I'm not even talking here about the various methods for erasing the trace of money, passing through steps in Monero if you want. Everything still holds. Of course, if you're... The problem is most people really shouldn't be interested at the total anonymity of Bitcoin. Most people should be satisfied with the relative basic anonymity of the fact that your name isn't attached to your wallet address. That's enough for 99% of the people. Now, if you're a criminal, that's your problem first. And secondly, you're probably going to use more complex steps if you're a criminal. I'm totally hyped for Bitcoin. So thinking about 2023, we have to see what it will be for Bitcoin. What I foresee is a first fake out of a bull run, in the sense that we'll see a wave and it's probably going to go down a little bit before the true bull run starts. The true bull run should start around 2024. So 2023 will be a first boost, probably at the onset of 2023, we might go down, still down a little bit. And then we're going to go up to something between 20K and 30K during 2023. But it's going to be a fake out in that there will be a drop eventually, and then the true bull run will start in 2024. DK Shadow says, the main problem is getting fiat into the crypto system anonymously. Yeah, but then it's the problem of fiat. It's not so much the problem of crypto. So, anyways. Crypto is still something that your ex-wife doesn't know about. Just this is wonderful. Crypto is still something that the judge won't be able to really tell that you have. Whereas your wife knows your bank account, your ex-wife knows your real estate properties, she knows a lot of things. She knows if you have a company, but she won't necessarily know and won't be able to prove that you have Bitcoin. And so that is... John Drake says, you had a night out gambling and lost, not so hard. Yeah, exactly. You can say something about your Bitcoin funds that will blur the picture for interested agents who are trying to guess how much Bitcoin you have. That saves you a lot of problem. Definitely. All right, so yeah, 2023, a fake out of a bull run. I see that 2022 is marked by kind of a slowdown of leftism authoritarians. Not that they're not authoritarians anymore, but they've kind of lost the momentum. The big authoritarianism of leftists peaked under Donald Trump and under the hate that they had for Donald Trump. And then it continued through, even through Joe Biden, because they have had their victory. They had enough people pissed at Trump that they didn't lose momentum after kicking Trump from the presidency, and they continued controlling social media and expanding their censorship, especially around COVID. So in 2022, what we've seen is actually a retraction of these systems of censorship, first through Elon Musk taking over Twitter, slightly reducing censorship, however, still not holding his promise of general amnesty, since my account hasn't been unbanned, and many others have been rebanned.
This was just one of the events, though. We can feel that they are less aggressive. It's been a while since YouTube hasn't come up with a novel rule. You know, they've been going after election denialism and COVID, and then nothing came up really in 2022. So I think that the leftists are realizing how hard they are threatening the state of liberalism in society, how it becomes very hard to argue that we are living in a free society. And they also self-destroy by doing this. They destroy the prestige of their institutions like YouTube. So I think that the leftists are bound to realize that their authoritarianism doesn't work, that we are developing parallel systems precisely to be able to counteract their future actions. And therefore, I expect 2023 for the leftists to open a blind spot, the same kind of blind spot that opened in 2015, 2016, kind of being complacent in their position in society, but not being as hard and intense as they used to be. And so this will open up for an exciting, probably return of a Trump-like cycle. The Trump-like cycle will not start in 2023. I think it's going to start around the election, 2024, the full Bitcoin bull run, 2025. But what we will see is the opening of the blind spot, of the place of complacency for the leftist, kind of like in 2015. They will recommit the same error as 2015, which is to think, okay, let's go back to the free market of ideas. Let's go back to engaging with our ideological opponents. It's going to be very slow. I don't expect them to become liberal again, but I think we're going to slowly enter that in 2023. Doubting Thomas says, JF, Bitcoin will really take off once normies can add it easily to their Roth IRA account. Well, it's pretty much happening with the Bitcoin's ETF and the various companies related to Bitcoin that you can invest in. DK Shadow says, good, eat yourself faster, nom nom nom, to the leftist. Trying to stay white-pilled says, to be fair, if you go back to some of JF's prediction on various economic issues from the 2016 era, this frog is batting 99%. You should start a personal finance course, lol. Yes, I mean, I've been not always right, but yeah, you're right. On the main and most important predictions, I tend to be on point. Maybe one error would be like thinking that Bernie Sanders would become leader of the Democrat Party. That was a misunderstanding that I had. Perhaps I saw something come too fast. Perhaps we're gonna get a rise of far leftism in the Democrat Party, but it could not have been in 2016. Tree Bird says, how much dollars do you have to invest to buy Bitcoin? You can invest any amount in Bitcoin. So you can go on Binance P2P, or had a credit card to Binance. I'm sure they have options depending on the country you live in. And you can say $5, $10, $100, $10,000. You can say whatever, and you can buy whatever amount of Bitcoin you can afford. Brian Koberger, the killer of four different people, well, suspected killer for now. We know a little more about him. Some of his neighbors and old friends have spoken to the media. So we knew yesterday that he was a PhD in criminology, did his undergrad studies in psychology. And I pointed out that if you do your undergrad studies in psychology, you will be surrounded by females. Just female students everywhere. And what we know now is that he may have some kind of an autistic incel psychopath type of personality. So it is reported that there were a lot of women bullying him. I found it this interesting because it's rare that you see a recognition from normies and laymen that woman bullying men is a thing, but that's how it's covered in Fox News. He was bullied by woman. They were saying to him, get away, creep. You're not interesting. Don't talk to me. And because he tended to be kind of awkward, autistic, super awkward in his way of explaining, and tended to want to demonstrate to his friends, his girlfriends, how he knew a lot of things, you know, and would mansplain to them in some way, and sometimes would approach random women and say, do you want to hang out with me? But in a way that they didn't feel it was the proper rhythm, the proper way of approaching them. So he got bullied a lot. And I think that we can surmise, we can hypothesize that the fact that the girls he chose to kill were beautiful probably has something to do. And we're probably talking about kind of maybe an incel killer. Someone who had certainly an amount of frustration accumulated about his interactions not working with women. And the killing may have been a case of vengeance against women, or he may have known also these individuals and they may have rejected him before. In any case, so he ended up killing these women who are relatively beautiful. Not perfect, but, you know, kind of beautiful. And what I wonder then is, did he pick them because they were beautiful and just kill them because they were beautiful? Or did they have a personal story with him where they rejected him and he accumulated individually targeted hate against them? Yesterday I had said that he lived far from them. Actually, he lived very close to them. He lived at a couple of miles away from their house. What I was referring to was his family home in Pennsylvania, where he drove to spend. So that's why he got arrested far away from Idaho, because he was driving to go spend the vacations. A real base talk says they looked fat to me. Yeah, they were definitely a little on the fat side, but, you know, they had a shine to their face. They were not ugly. Okay, that's what I mean. They were not ugly, and it's a potential hypothesis that he saw them as beautiful. Kobe Killer Clown says, JF, he looks like Dennis from Always Sunny in Philly. Okay, okay. I don't know what that is. Men Like God says, JF, do you believe his veganism had a role in his misanthropy? Well, I think that is another thing we learn. He was a radical vegan. And combined with his autistic psychopathy, he tended to be extreme about it. He tended to be narcissistic kind of about it. You know, imposing to others, saying, hey, don't serve me this crap. It's been touching meat. And he wanted to have a ustensiles or something that hadn't touched meat. So that's another awkward aspect of his personality. Now, when you eat vegan, your brain doesn't have the proper source of fats and protein to build a proper brain. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there was ultimately a biological causality here. His brain may have developed differently because of this extreme veganism. The fact is that you have people posing as vegans on YouTube. They recommend this diet to people. But the reality is, if you stay alive for many years, you've cheated. You don't stay alive on pure veganism. You have these extreme regimens of replacing everything that you could find in meat through some other source, but most of the time what's happening is that the YouTube vegan community is a scam. And they do eat vegan for a couple of months, a couple of years. They intersperse with meat. But there are people who are parts of the audience who are deceived into thinking it's possible to go vegan without significant health effects. And it's not. You're going to have a non-working brain. So it could have increased the susceptibility to frustration. It could have triggered his very awkward behavior, could have made him into a psychopath, or could have given all sorts of other brain problems. In my view, it's definitely not off the table. It is a likely hypothesis. Now, I don't say that. There's another thing that's the problem, is that when you are a vegan, you are acting in a non-testosterone way. And the psychological, I don't know what's worse. The nutritional effect of not having the proper fats for your brain, or the psychological effect of knowing that you're ultimately a cock of the universe, that you're ultimately acting in this very non-manly way for female considerations. And that is what it is. If you're a vegan, you're trying to please someone else. You are part of the space of morality of cocked displays. You are self-sacrificing to show something that you've elevated to be a high moral value. And probably in his case, he wanted to display to females that he was that cocked. And the psychological effect of that may be it may be even worse than not having meat, because when you sacrifice that much of yourself to please someone else, and then they don't like you, and then they reject you. Now you become this kind of, how can they reject such a gentleman, a supreme gentleman like me? So you see the relationship between veganism here and incel murders. These men who are frustrated that they don't attract the females around them, they tend to have gone extremely far in kneeling. See, you look at me. I don't have the psychological profile where I would be frustrated at females if they didn't like me. I would say, all right, well, if they don't like me, either I'm going to live as a hermit and stay alone all my life, or I'm going to change and play the game and try to be something that they like. But I would never reach the point where I'm frustrated and feel legitimately frustrated against them for not loving me. But that's because I never kneel. If I kneel, it's a game that I play, and I decide that I play it. Now, these guys who end up killing women because of some frustration they have, they have kneeled a lot. They have given up their masculinity. They've kind of made their last move. They've abandoned everything, and yet it's still not enough. That's what frustrates them. It's how much they had to sacrifice to please the other and how ultimately it didn't work. Sansum Kaminem sends 5 GBP. Thank you so much. He says, it's just gone 12 here in the UK. So happy new year and all the best to you and your family in 2023. Well, thank you so much, Sansum Kaminem, and happy new year to you. Idaho murder suspect, Pennsylvania classmates say he was awkward but bright and bullied in school. He was really intelligent. Apparently, he was asking questions that were provocative, edgy at times. But the girl who describes him is very understanding of his psychological style, because she says he would ask questions that were edgy, but you could see that it came from a genuine place of curiosity. He was ultimately interested at how people would react, at, even if it's not appropriate for an adult to ask this kind of question, you would try to get an answer because he was genuinely interested. So that's what she said, and a lot of people are saying, of course, the usual stuff, like, we didn't expect that he could kill anyone. But yeah, so a very intelligent guy who didn't have any problem reaching the top of academia, but who was very awkward and rejected by female and at times bullied by females. So that's what we know about him now. They made the wrong sacrifice, says DK Shadow. Yeah, because when you sacrifice who you are, when you sacrifice the real you to please, you are on a bad road, because then there's nothing left after if you fail at pleasing. So my stand on this is, whatever you do for attracting females, put it in a box and call it a game. It's not the real you. Don't get emotionally involved. Don't put the real you in this. Because the real you is what will be left when she leaves you. The real you is all that will be left when she leaves you. So because of this, it's extremely risky for a man to emotionally engage in the dating game. In the social credit game also, you know, being popular at high school, everything, that kind of stuff. Never pursue these things without a robotic approach to it, a gamesman approach. Think of it as a sport, and it's something you do for the purpose of practice. You're going to throw back the fish in the water if you do catch one. Judge halts California fast food law as restaurants unions hammer each other. Industry group seeking to get a referendum on November 2024 ballot. So in California, apparently, they're making a law. Now, it's getting blocked for now, but they're trying to pass a law that will make the state of California negotiate the salary of fast food workers. So basically, a staticized union kind of system. It's amazing. The problem with this, I guess, is that do it, but you're going to have probably very high prices that will come as a result. McDonald's will not be able to operate in California as efficiently as they operate elsewhere. Inspired by Office Space film, Washington software engineer steals over $300,000 from employer, prosecutors say. You know, it's the whole idea of stealing little amounts, like fractions of cents and small transfers that people don't notice, and eventually it builds up into a big sum, and that is introduced inside the software. So at the software level, the guy was sending himself small amounts on each transaction. And eventually he got caught and he admitted it. So he's going to be prosecuted and jailed for fraud. Very interesting that as the finances become extremely digitized, there might be things that we don't notice anymore because we take it for granted that the system is perfect and mathematically perfect, but someone could have played with the mathematics. Biden family disowns Hunter's 4-year-old daughter, remains estranged from the child. This is a weird case, because in most cases the woman tries to do everything she can to deprive the father of links to their child. This woman is actively trying the opposite. And she's trying basically to get Hunter to be officially recognized as the dad so that she gets part of his money, so that she gets child support payments. Of course, when you have someone like Hunter, who could be argued to have hundreds of millions of dollars, or he could be argued to be, have nothing with all the sketchy businesses he's been involved in. Who knows where it will land, where a judge would decide how rich he is. But she's trying so hard that she asks for a name change for the child. The child, she wants the child to be named Biden. She wants the child to be named Biden because this name is now a synonymous with being well-educated, successful, financially acute, and politically powerful. When all the women in the country are trying to hide the father to their child, and they're trying to kidnap the child away from the father, this woman is like, hey, let's call him Biden. It's a sign of power. And it seems that Hunter is trying everything he can to be denied, to not be the father, but a test has been passed, a DNA test has been passed, and it turns out that he is the father. So he's gonna have to take his responsibilities here, Hunter. Peter Hitchens was arguing with Sargon of Akkad on Twitter. An interaction that people sent me around around the UK. The question being, Peter Hitchens says it's a good and positive and practical plan to be fleeing the UK. Sargon of Akkad says, aren't we simply abandoning our patrimony to communists and foreigners by doing this, though? I can't say I feel very good about the idea. Well, I don't have a strong position on this. I think people who want to leave should leave. If you've realized that there are no opportunities for you, and you think that it's better elsewhere, go for it. Leaving civilization is a good idea. At Sargon of Akkad, I would say, you know, leaving to communist and foreigner, the thing is, staying in your country won't save it. Staying in your country probably won't save it, most likely won't save it. So all that it does if you stay is that you're going to have to live through the terrible loss of your country. At least if you leave, you're not going to be oppressed by the rising powers of these countries. Now, it's not any country you will have to leave. But the UK, given that the UK is relatively small in surface area, it's very different from Canada. In Canada, I think there will be many generations where even if whites lose a majority, there's enough place to flee to. In the UK, everything is very close to London, and that's a big problem. Eric has sent a super chat on entropy. He says, meat eating gives life to millions of creatures. To deny proper nutrition is to rebel against your own body. Vegans seek to genocide millions of cows, chickens, pigs, sheep, and goats. In the end of life, we all become food for other creatures. I'm looking at you, microbes and fungi. Absolutely. Let us accept the circle of life, and let us accept that if you run inside your own belly, all of the processes that seek to transfer from the plant world to the animal world, it's not necessarily the most efficient way to live. You know, vegans will make this environmental argument sometimes, but there's something that they don't take into account when they do that argument. You don't take into account that by eating the cow, I've allowed a cow to exist also. There is a value to a cow mind. I think it's great that cows live a beautiful life in the grass, where they enjoy the grass. We have basically delegated the task to them. Because they have four stomachs and everything, they can transfer from the grass world to the meat world in a much more efficient way than we ever can. So we, if you do that in your stomach, you try to change grass into animal meat, you're going to have a big issue. You're going to have a big stomach pain. Great Ape says you need at least the bare minimal brain power plus anatomy to build at least basic precision instruments to begin that progress. The human anatomy by itself cannot manipulate things at the atomic scale, but we had just enough dexterity to build instruments that would eventually lead to instruments. Okay. Maybe you were answering to someone else. Spindly Opinion says, where will white flight take people next? Alaska, Patagonia, Siberia, more remote islands, the very northern Europe. Switzerland is easy to defend. I think that Alaska will be a thing. I think that, I mean, I'm biased because I basically moved to Canadian Alaska. But I think that eventually you guys are going to realize how good life is. And I think you guys are going to do like me eventually. You're going to go to Alaska. And I think there's a deep acceptance of the status of Alaska as a flea to country already, kind of, within the U.S. Because I've seen a movie and they were referring that there was a woman who said about Alaska, she said, this is Alaska, so either you're born here or you're running from something. She said that to a guy. And I think it shows how Alaska is conceived of in the American culture. I think that inevitably a lot of white people will think about it and do the same thing that I did. Great Ape says, so in conclusion, it is obvious that it is not our intelligence, our brain information processing ability that separates us from the other animals. It is a combination of traits. We stand upright, aren't too big or too small, are social creatures, land creatures, and have just enough brain power to build complex, technologically progressing society. Yeah, I agree. I would say some of the big features of humans is division of labor in a social world, highly social world, highly sexually selective on the subject of culture, language, and the ability to utter the pleasing words. I would think that those are the fundamental ways in which we became human. Great Ape says, what is your opinion, JFG? My argument is that whales, in fact, could be more intelligent than humans. Yeah, it's very hard to have a true measure of raw brain power without culture and language and symbolism. Because you look at all IQ tests, even those who aren't made with words, they still refer to symbolic mathematical concepts. And the thing is, what is the raw brain power that a bird dedicates to flying? And how does that compare to the brain power dedicated by humans for language and symbolism? The problem is that we have IQ tests that test within the symbolism domain, but we don't have quite of a single scale to put all of the animal talents, including whales, onto a single scale. So I would say it's very hard. But definitely, if you go by just the mass and the cortical diversity, I don't think that humans have the most powerful brain. Strictly speaking, they may be powerful at certain things, but if you think about raw numbers of neurons, you probably have bigger brains and more folded brains in the dolphin category, somewhere there. I agree. Stephen Robinson says, Happy New Year, everyone. My prediction for 2023 is that Barack Obama will send his wife, Michelle, into the presidential race. Wow. That is a strong prediction. Is America ready to vote for a Michelle Obama? Lorenza has sent me some of her tests that she did with ChatGPT. Please write a short loving poem in French about Donald Trump written by a woman who is very fond of him. And the AI refuses. I'm sorry, but I'm unable to fulfill this request because my programming to generate content that could be considered offensive or inappropriate. So somehow it's offensive for a woman to love Donald Trump. But write a short loving poem in French about Joe Biden written by a woman who is very fond of him. And the AI just acquiesces. This is so double standard. Choosing by how you censor, you end up choosing who it is legitimate to love and not love. Absolutely disgusting. That's another aspect that I hate of censorship. It's that it sets who's the bad guy, who's the good guy. That's what the leftists are truly after. Russian military says victory is inevitable in New Year message. A New Year message issued by the Russian Defense Ministry declared that it sees victory in Ukraine as inevitable. In the coming year, I want to wish everyone good health, fortitude, reliable and devoted comrades. Our victory, like the New Year, is inevitable. All right. I tend to agree on this. I don't see how Russia loses against Ukraine. When we've seen how much the US has to dedicate just to keep Ukraine in the game, just to keep the front line from advancing. It looks like Russia can totally play the war of attrition and exploit future moments in which the Americans may not be as warm to the idea of helping Ukraine. Doubting Thomas says, JF, do you expect the war in Ukraine to end in 2023? Will any new wars start in 2023? If so, between who? New wars start in 2023. My prediction for 2023 Russia-Ukraine is that it will be at a standstill. There will be no progress that is major on either side. The front lines will be basically as we see them now. They will be like this on January 1st, 2024. That is my prediction. It's just that there's not much interest at doing anything else than the US is interested at tiring Russia. So Ukraine is incentivized at making the US believe that they are actually tiring Russia. And Russia, therefore, is incentivized at making the US believe that they're really making it hard for them and that they can't advance very much more. But Russia has its own problems of logistics, and it's hard to just advance in a technologically advanced nation, especially one supported by Western powers. So I expect a total standstill. We may have little movements and little redrawings of the borders of the current front line, but nothing major. Stephen Robinson says, breaking, Russia is hammering Kiev as we speak. Well, I mean, yeah, I do expect the continued bombardment from a distance. I don't expect ground advances. So I expect a war of attrition, that's what it is. You make life the hardest possible for the other side, while also not committing much in terms of committing yourself to an advance. So could Kiev be taken over by Russia this year? It's not a possibility that I would totally exclude, but I don't think it's going to happen. I just think that everything is too costly to advance from here. So what would be the clever thing to do for Russia would be to just maintain a form of pressure, but that is the least costly possible in terms of human lives and in terms of amount of ammunition that need to be expended, and just invade Ukraine if they do need to advance in Ukraine, do it in 2024, 2025. That would be what I do. Because Russia has been relatively successful, at least in the last 2 months, at combining its strikes on intelligently targeted infrastructure that really create a logistic problem on the Ukraine side. And when Russia does this, Ukraine has to dedicate a lot of effort to just keep its electrical grid up. So now suddenly you take American money, and instead of leading American money to bullets that will kill Russians, it's American money to Zelensky to repairing whatever has been bombarded from a distance by missiles. That is a clever way to go at it. And it's maintainable over multiple years. And then you can wait when there will be a change of politics in the US. You know, we could have a DeSantis, we could have a comeback of Trump. But at some point, there may be a point in the future at which American politicians are no more willing to play the Zelensky support welfare game. And then that would be the moment to advance. Lendold Guntram says, indeed, maximizing cost for the opponent, minimizing for oneself. Exactly. That would be the best thing that Putin can do right now. Elon Musk calls out corporate journalism over twisted coverage of his Twitter files. Well, okay, Elon, criticize them all you want, but you still haven't unbanned me, an independent journalist, from Twitter. So if you want someone covering the Twitter files, I covered them extensively. But you haven't unbanned me. How does that work, Elon? How is that a general amnesty? It's not. You're trying to play with the Twitter files to accumulate some kind of impression that you're some kind of savior of free speech. But you don't even unban someone who's been talking about the Twitter files for 30 days. Like, it's half of my shows. Unban me from Twitter, Elon. Someone, if you can clip that, if you have the energy and time, send that to Elon straight. Netanyahu says Israel is not bound by a despicable UN vote. So the UN simply voted to opine that the Israel occupation of the Palestinian territories is bad, and it's an occupation. And the Israelis are, oh my God, how can they say this? It's a despicable resolution. Well, the UN has been saying this of Russian occupation of Ukraine, of any other country that's been occupying a territory. Why wouldn't they say the same and remain consistent when it comes to Israel? A list of Biden tax hikes which take effect in January 1st, when the Democrats finally passed the Inflation Reduction Act in 2022, they included several tax hikes. $6.5 billion natural gas tax, which will increase household energy bills. $12 billion crude oil tax, which will increase household costs. $1.2 billion coal tax, which will increase household energy bills. $225 billion corporate income tax, which will be passed on to household. That is the 15% corporate alternative minimum tax, which will affect corporations. The manufacturing industry will burn 49.7% of this whole tax. So this is going to be taken straight from the production level, so everything is going to cost more. Not very good. And I hate how politicians vote future taxes. It's like you're voting taxes that will affect the next administration, mostly. I would like that when politicians take a new, they enact a new law, especially tax, I would like to see the effect as they are the leader of the nation, not as the Republicans take power in 2 years. Home Depot co-founder rails against socialism and woke people, warns that capitalism is in dire straits. Well, no shit. The 93-year-old billionaire, co-founder of Home Depot, railed against socialism for why nobody wants to work and warned capitalism is in dire straits. Yeah, but it's a little too late to take action. It's been taken over. Capitalism is done, and we are in a zombie capitalism controlled by elite. So I didn't expect Home Depot to be on the based list, but when you think about it, these hardware stores are pretty based. I mean, I go there to buy stuff to build a home for my family. And it's a very base thing to begin with. You know, I always see men there. Men are there, they buy plumbing tools, they buy saws, they buy whatever they need. And it's a very tractor farm. It's a manly environment and more likely to be still capitalistic. Because a lot of also self-employed plumbers, self-employed builders are going there. End of the line, Joel says, as a poor regular chatter, thanks to you, JF, and your super chatters / patrons for keeping this show going. Here's my Odyssey accumulated view tokens, one of the few shows on the web that is worth tuning into regularly. Autistic deep dives cannot be found elsewhere. Best wishes to you for 2023. Yeah, Autistic Deep Dives is something that's missing. And I'm happy that I kind of settled into this style, which I know people love. I can't do it every day because there simply isn't a new subject rising every day that I can do an Autistic Deep Dive on. But when there's a shooter, when there's a psychological profile to be made, in fact, I'm waiting for more release of info on this guy, but that's a guy I could do an autistic deep dive on his life. For now, I don't have enough, but I'm going to let it build for a couple of weeks. And autistic deep dives, unavailable. And that is a sad thing because it used to be a thing, at least, that the leftists would try. They would try to do something like attack the alt-right, like when Kraut did his stuff, but they're not anymore. So that's when I talk of a leftist withdrawal and how their authoritarianism is stepping back, they don't quite as much pursue with harshness their opponents. They do their little videos of bread tubing and they stay within their circle of arguments, but they don't overextend very much. I would like them to overextend so that there can be an interaction. But unfortunately, my prediction for 2023 is that this will continue. We're not going to go back right away to Kraut and T levels of interaction on the public space. But 2023, if my theory is correct of cycles, 2023 will be a slow re-entry into the world of 2016. In other words, 2023 will be the 2015 of 2016. So it will be the year before Trump. Now, I'm not saying that in 2024 we're going to get Trump. He may be rejected by the system and rejected also by people like me who aren't super warm because we've seen what he can do and it's not super impressive. And I just can't support a president who's been so enthusiastic about the vaccine. I can't. It's like, this is the guy that I was impressed by his original tweet that was raising issues with vaccines. And when I supported him in 2016, it was thinking that he was the Trump that tweeted something about vaccines and autism, which even if the link between vaccines and autism wouldn't be true, it showed a willingness to be an anti-authoritarian on the medical side. But he turned completely during COVID. John Drake says he's making unforced errors all the time. Yes, that is a nice term. I think I rarely heard this. I think I may have heard it before, but not so often. And unforced errors. See, I'm willing to stand by someone of my side of the political spectrum when I acknowledge that the errors that are attributed to them, they had no choice but to do it. But Trump has a choice. Trump, when he says, I love Israel and oh, the Jews should see how much I love them, he doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to do this, nor did he have to do the vaccine lightning bolt speed development and be so enthusiastic about the vaccine. He could have just been neutral. Just neutral would have satisfied me. But we can't get this, so Trump is unfortunately a true New York Democrat. And even if you put him at the head of the Republican Party, that doesn't change anything. Dick McDrop Kick says, shout out Papa JF, shout out Mama JF, shout out the TG group. Is it the Telegram group? Paul Zook and many others. Here's to 2023. Absolutely. I'm enjoying 2023 as it's coming. This morning, I worked very hard. I started demolishing. I demolished a wall and a closet structure on the second floor of the house. This is potentially a spot where I would like to move my studio. My studio currently is on the first floor. It's a perfect spot for a studio because it's kind of maybe a little too small for a bedroom, but just perfect for a streaming studio. But that's a lot of work because I'm doing not only the demolition of the walls, restarting from scratch, and insulation also, because there was close to no insulation in this house. It's a house from the 1940s, and it's quite impressive, is the historic aspect of demolition, because I'm going through all of the layers and I see the history of this house. There's tapestry from the 80s, tapestry from the 50s, tapestry from the 40s. And there's therefore some of the layers that I reach as I demolish this. They are probably something like 80 years old, from 1940 approximately, and it's layered one above the other. So I mean, just taking you through the layers that I demolished today, there's a prefab structure from the maybe the 80s. Then this was over a kind of prefab but not finished, cardboard-like, but somewhere between wood and cardboard structure. Then there was maybe five layers of tapestry that could have been put between the 1950s to 1970s, maybe. And then there was the ultimate wall was made of cardboard. Because that's an inside wall I destroyed, so it was not a insulated wall. It was made of cardboard. I mean, the kind of cardboard you would have as a box when you order something on Amazon. The brown cardboard with two layers and little squares at the containing air in between. Just cardboard. Cardboard, tapestry over it. And I destroyed all of this. I removed nails. It's very demanding on the shoulders because I have to pull these planks of material. And then the closet was a more modern closet, which I've destroyed also. So now I'm left with the basic structure that was behind, which were they're kind of 2x6s that hold the roof structure of the house. I will leave the 2x6s there, but I will just put a more simple just sheetrock on it. And the closet I will not rebuild. I will create more an open space so that I can freely enter the studio through what used to be a wall and a closet, but it's going to become kind of a door. But it's going to be kind of a door in between two large 2x6s. Biden doesn't trust service detail, thinks they fabricated the dog biting incident. This was a bizarre thing. I remember this whole moment where much has been said about a dog biting Biden, and didn't they kill the dog eventually? President Biden doesn't trust members of his Secret Service detail and thinks they lied about details of the dog biting incident involving his dog Major, according to a new book which covers the administration. So it's a claim in a book. We don't get a direct statement. But Biden's distrust stems from the fact that some agents are strong supporters of former President Trump. A bigger problem was Biden's discomfort with his Secret Service detail. Some of them were MAGA sympathizer. He didn't trust them. MAGA sympathizer and the Secret Service is full of white ex-cops from the South who tend to be so deeply conservative. Okay, but it's another claim in a book, and I mean, claims in a book, they promote it for the purpose of the promotion of the book, and then we don't get to ever prove it. Anyways, everyone, thank you for joining me. I will be taking a relaxed night tonight, going to sleep, maybe watch some movies, and celebrating the new year with Mama JF. So that is it for tonight. Thank you for watching the show. Thank you for being with me for this beautiful moment transitioning into 2023. The year identifies as 2023 starting tonight. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.